and Coyote goes off into the woods. Pretty soon, he decides that his man must be done. And he goes to his oven, pulls out his oven. He looks at it and thinks, well, it's a little strange shape, but... And he breathes life into his creature and puts it up on the ground. Well, stand up! And the creature looks at him and goes, oh, 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 and waves his tail. Coyote comes running out of the trees and looks at this creature that the man-maker has made and smiles. Man-maker looks at Coyote and he says, you've done it again. Why did you do this? Well, I needed something pretty to run around with me, too. Okay, Coyote, you may have her, but do not touch the next ones. So Man-maker goes over and gets more clay and shapes man and puts him on his tray. He looks and he thinks, he may be lonely. He gets more clay and shapes another shape and puts it on his tray. And they're beautiful. And they are identical. That won't work. He picks up his tray and looks at them for a long time, reaches between the legs of his one person and pitches a small amount of clay. On the other person, he reaches between the legs with his fingernail and makes a slight slit and says, there, that is good. They will be perfect, and puts them into his oven. And he goes over and he sits down to rest while his people are being made. Pretty soon, Coyote comes over and sits right down beside him and looks at him and says, I think they're done now. No, it's not time. I think they're done now. Well, okay, Coyote. So he goes over and opens his oven and pulls them out. They're underdone. They're not quite done. Oh, well. They're too light for this climate. Maybe they can live someplace across the oceans. And he goes back to work again, getting his clay, forming his man, getting his clay, forming his woman perfectly, puts them on the tray, goes over, sticks them in the oven, and goes back to rest while his people are getting done. Coyote once again comes and sits by him. Neither are speaking. Man-maker gets up and starts over. No, you better not do that right now. Remember the last batch, they didn't get done. Oh, you're right. And he sits back down. Coyote goes to sleep. Man-maker goes to sleep. Pretty soon, Man-maker wakes up and thinks, have to be done. Goes to his oven quickly, opens up the door, takes them out, and they're almost black. Why, they're way too done. Maybe they can live in someplace across the oceans. And he goes back to his clay pile, picks up more clay, makes man. Picks up more clay, makes woman. Picks them up, takes them over to his ovens, and sets them in and stands by his oven. Coyote looks at him and says, well, are you just going to stand there?
Yes, and I'm not listening to you.
Okay, I'm going to go off and play with dog.
And Coyote goes off.
Man-maker stays and stays until he thinks it's about the right time. Opens the oven, takes them out, and they're a beautiful golden brown. He breathes life into them. He puts them on this planet, and that is the beginning of the Pueblo Indians. I have trouble with that word. And that's the beginning of man. But the creation stories of your Native Americans, they have creation stories for everything. Some of them are little obscure facts. Some of them are ones that you've probably heard. Some of you have probably heard this, how your three colors came to be. you're white and you're black and you're perfect, as the Native American feel. Another one that I just roared when I first read it because it was so silly. If any of you watch animals, I mentioned this with the Karen, and she said, I don't know, I think I'll tell it anyway. If any of you watch animals and notice how they react to one another, and also notice their penises or their sex organs, this ties kind of in with our last night, you'll notice the panther has a crook in the penis. Well, the Indians have a reason for that. They don't take it as something that shouldn't be told or something that shouldn't be talked about. And maybe that's why we Anglos have problems. Things like this are things you don't talk about. Well, they go out and look and see and watch and decide there's a reason for it. But they also had to have a reason for how it got to be that way. And this is the reason the panther has a crook in his member. Panther was out walking along the beach one day, and he saw these beautiful, beautiful maidens across the river. And he thought, those are lovely maidens. I would like to copulate with them. The panther doesn't like water very well. So Panther decides that he will cut off his member, put it on a stick, and send it across the river to copulate with these beautiful maidens. And this is what he does. He cuts off his member, puts it on a stick, and sends it across the river to the maidens. Well, it doesn't get very far across the river, and fish sees it and thinks, big juicy worm. And fish goes up there and grabs Panther's member and decides that it is a nice, big, juicy worm. And Panther's running up and down the beaches, yelling at fish to leave that alone, but fish is eating. So Panther jumps into his canoe and rows out quickly, grabs fish and says, let go, let go. And finally, he doesn't let go, so he squeezes him. And member comes popping out, and Panther grabs it and rows back to shore, puts it back on, and because of fish's mouth and teeth, he now has a crook in his member. Okay. As I said, the rest are up to you. You may take your choices on these. This one is a Greek tale with Zeus in it, and the origin of death of the Blackfeet, which is very beautiful. Cherokee, the coming of corn, is a lovely one. You may choose just one. Bursting from the hen's egg. This is a Chinese tale that's really kind of beautiful. Making of heaven and earth. The earth on a turtle's back. This is Native American again. Can't tell that I work in a Native American school, can you? The hungry woman. I don't know. That's rather gory. It's rather awful, but it's kind of fun. And it's, a lot of people don't like it. They think it's something. And the Cherokee, how the sun came to be. Choose one. You probably will have to share colors. Then take a drawing piece of paper. Just after you've read your story, take a drawing piece of paper, go to the table, and draw your story. It doesn't need to be good. You can have stick men, you can have anything, you can do anything you want. But draw all the things that you think are pertinent to your story. When we're all done, hopefully, we won't take too long, we'll get back together and you can tell your story with your picture. Mm-hmm. And the thing that this does, and it works as just as good for adults as for children, if you're trying to remember something, even though it's a silly, silly drawing, here you've got it. You may have the colors of the different corn things that may have gone across the front. You may have the cracking of the egg. You may have the sun that's falling out of the sky. And when you're telling up here, like I mentioned to some of them, I think it was on my own story day on Tuesday, I'm telling the stories. I forgot one whole section. And it was partially because my husband was crying, my sister was crying, and another one was crying. And I forgot one whole section of this one story I wanted to tell. And if I would have had just a kind of a picture of remembrances or ideas, I wouldn't have. I don't like the idea of having to look at a note when I'm storytelling. But if you have little drawings, it doesn't hurt at all. And you don't forget your facts. Just see how it goes for you. And then we'll listen to your stories. But I'll put the Crayola's off and the table and the drawing paper's off. Read your story and then just...
I didn't want to end up.
Grab all these pieces of paper.
Well, put the last touches on and then turn around. You haven't got yours all done.
The best part was having a whole box of crayons that nobody ever used before.
That is kind of special, isn't it? Especially if you teach in school. Oh, here comes the storyteller walking in. They've had to draw their creation stories, and now they're going to be telling them.
Oh.
Do I have a volunteer to be first? Do I have to just call? Will you? And in the place where the spirits live, there's a woman, and she was hungry all the time. She had mouths everywhere, mouths on her elbows, mouths on her wrists, mouths on her knees and her ankles and her feet. She was hungry all the time. She cried in the place where these spirits live for food. And they said, look guys, we can't handle this. We gotta get her out of here. But when they looked around, there was nothing above and nothing to the right, nothing to the left. And when they looked down, it looked like water. So they said, well, throw her in the water. And they tossed her in, but she floated. So two of the spirits, Quetzalcoatl, Tezcatlipoca, they turned themselves into snakes. And they crossed themselves on her body. One upper right and lower left, and one lower left and on the right. And they squeezed her. They broke her in half. And they weren't quite sure what to do. But the upper half, they took to the sky. And the lower half, they took her skin and they made flowers. And they took her hair and they made her forests. And they made pools and springs from her eyes and mountains from her shoulders and wrists. And they thought, well, maybe now she'll be satisfied. She's so beautiful. But she still hadn't changed. She was still crying for food. She was hungry, moaning. And it is still true today. When it rains, she drinks. When the flowers shrivel and the trees fall, she eats. When someone dies in battle or by accident, she drinks their blood. Her mouths are always open and snapping shut, but they are never filled, sometimes at night. When the wind blows, you can hear her cry for food. Mm-hmm.
story is entitled The Earth on Turtle's Back. And the Onondaga, Northeast Woodland Tribe. Before the earth existed, there was only water. And in the water, there was only animals with webbed feet and the birds above. And way above in the clouds was Skyland. Now in Skyland, there was a huge great tree where its four major limbs were pointing in the sacred directions. This is basically so I can see what I'm doing.
That's
and
exactly what they're for.
There was an ancient chief, and the ancient chief had a wife who was with child. And one night, this wife, she had a powerful, amazing dream that the tree was uprooted. And so she woke up in a start and told her husband this. And he said, well, as we always do in our tribe, when there was a powerful dream, we must try to make it true. So we got all of the warriors together, and they tried to uproot the tree with no success. So finally he gathered up all of his strength, and he wrapped his arms around the base of the tree and yanked it out of the cloud and put it on its side. And so a little later on, the woman became very inquisitive because she looked down in the hole that was left and saw all of this water far down below. So as she wanted to look, she couldn't quite see it, so she grabbed part of the tree and got herself more over the hole, and all of a sudden fell, grabbing a little part of the tree with some seeds, and fell through the hole and started screaming down towards the water. Now some swans saw this and flew up to her to help her and broke her fall gently in their feathers and flew down closer and closer to where life was happening down on the sea. Now there was a big problem. They could see right away that she wasn't going to be able to survive in the great lake. So they had difficulty, and they wanted to know what they should do. Well, they said, some remembered the story of Earth or something way below in the ocean depths. So they said, what we need to do is go down there and grab some of this earth and come back up and see if she can survive on it. So first of all, the duck went swimming down, but when it got to a certain point, the pressure was too much, couldn't reach the earth, so swam back up. And then the beaver swam down, tried the same thing, didn't work. The loon tried without success. So finally the muskrat said, with all of her determination, well, I know I'm not as good a swimmer as you guys, but I have determination, so I'm going to make a try at it. So she swam down there, and as the pressure began to build, she kept swimming, and other forces were working on her, but she was determined to go down and get some earth. So she finally did, and grabbed a fistful of earth and swam up to the shore, or up to the water's edge. And then they didn't know where to put the earth, so the great turtle came by and said, put it on my back, I have enough space. And she did, and then they put the woman who was pregnant upon the turtle and the soil, and she said this was fine, this would work, and the soil began to grow, and even to this day you can see the markings on the back of the turtle where the muskrat put the soil, claw marks. It was my story.
I'll do that. This is called The Coming of the Corn, and it's a Cherokee story from North Carolina. An old grandmother and her grandson lived together in the shadow of a mountain. And they lived happily together, and the grandson flourished and nourished, and he became 7 years old. And the grandmother presented him with a gift of a bow and an arrow. And so the young grandson took the bow and arrow out to search for his manhood. And he was successful, and he shot a small bird and brought it back. And the grandmother said, "You've done very well, my grandson. We must have a feast." So the grandmother went down the path into her shed and took her basket with her and came back with corn from the shed. And when she came back, she created a fire and made a soup of the corn and the bird for a feast with her grandson, who is now the hunter. Every day from then on, the grandson went out to find some fowl to bring back for them to eat. And every day, the grandmother would go into the shed, fill her basket with corn, and come out again. Finally, after many days of having corn and soup, the boy wondered, how was it that the grandmother went into the shed and endlessly would come back with corn for them to eat? So one day, when he brought back his fowl, and his grandmother had gone into the shed, he decided to go and look through a crack in the shed and see how the grandmother got this endless supply of corn. And while he peeked through the crack, he could see his grandmother rubbing her body up and down, and from her body came the husks of corn that fell into the basket. And now the grandson knew the secret. When the grandmother came out of the shed, the grandson confronted the grandmother and said, "How is this so?" And the grandmother said, "Now you know my secret. I can no longer stay with you. But I will tell you what to do, so that you will be able to have enough food to eat, and you will be able to feed the people after I am gone. Here's what you must carefully do. When I have died, you must drag my body over the ground 7 times. Now, first of all, you must clear the ground of all the wilderness and all the vines and the trees. Thank you for the picture. Then you must drag my body 7 times back and forth over the ground." And it was true. In the morning, the grandmother had died. So the grandson carefully did as his grandmother said to do and dragged her body 7 times over the now cleared earth. And drops of her blood fell as he dragged her over the ground. In days that came, the grandson noticed that everywhere where there was a drop of blood, a plant began to emerge. And the plant grew and reached for the sky, until there came to be brown tassels on top of the plant. And the grandson said to himself, "This looks like my grandmother's hair." And then as the plants grew, he noticed that corn began to emerge on the stalks of the plants. Now, as he feeds himself and the people of his land, and the corn grows on the barren land, he always recalls the gift of his friend.
Wow. Mine is called The Origin of Death, and it's a Blackfoot story from Montana. When the world was new, old man and old woman were walking around. Old man said to old woman, "Let us decide how the world shall be." "That is good," said old woman, "but how shall we do it?" Old man said, "Since it was my idea, I shall go first." "That is good," said old woman, "since you are first, I shall have the last word." Old man said, "I will speak to you of hunting. The men shall be the hunters, and when they call to the animals, they shall come." Old woman said, "That is good. Men shall be the hunters, but if the animals come, it will be too easy. When they hear the voice of man, they shall run away." They went on further, and old man said, "I will speak to you of people. On each of their faces they will have a mouth and eyes. The mouth will be on one side and the eyes on another, and they shall have 10 fingers.
on each hand. Old woman said, they shall have faces and hands, but their eyes shall be on the top and their mouths on the bottom. And with 10 fingers they would be clumsy. They shall have 5 fingers on each hand. They went on further, and old man said, let us speak of life and death. I will throw a buffalo chip into the water, and if it sinks, humanity shall die. And if it floats, when people die, they shall be dead only 4 days, and then they shall live forever. That is good, said old woman, but let's not decide it with a buffalo chip. Let me throw a rock into the water, and if it floats, man shall live, and if it sinks, they shall be dead. She threw the stone into the water, and it immediately sank. She said, that is how life shall be. If people lived forever, there wouldn't be enough food. The people shall die. This way there will be sympathy on the earth. After a matter of time, old man and old woman had a small child whom they loved. The child became sick and dying. Old woman came to old man and said, let us rethink the way of death. No, said old man, you have the last word.
Wow. That's one that generally makes me want to cry.
Is that incredible story?
And I love the equality of both the male and the female. I mean, he's doing the creating, she decides. He's doing the creating, she decides. You know, it's in the working together.
The rhythm.
But, yeah, it's the rhythm, but the force at the end is awful. Who's next? Whatever you're comfortable.
This is a Cherokee story of how the sun came. There was no light in the world at all, and all the animal people were bumming around, bumping into each other. And in the darkness, they decided to call a meeting and see what could be done about this. The woodpecker, the red-headed woodpecker, said that he had heard that on the other side of the world there was light. And the fox said, well, if there's light on the other side of the world, the people who have it there must be very greedy. If we are to take any, we must sneak there and steal some. And there was more discussion on who should be the person to go to the other side of the world and get some light for the darkness. And Possum thought that he would be a good person to go because he thought with his bushy tail that he could hide the light in his tail. So he set out to find the light and was able to get some, hid it in his bushy tail, but on the way home his tail burned. And that is why now the possum has a bare tail. Actually, as he was approaching the light, it became brighter and brighter, and he screwed his eyes up. And that's also why now the possum has screwed up eyes, and why the possum is a nocturnal animal and only comes out at night. when Possum returned without any success, there was some more discussion, and the buzzard decided that he would be the next best person to go because he could fly up high and take some of the light. So he took some of the light in his claws and placed it on his head. And on the way back to the darkness, the light burnt the feathers on his head. So that is why now the buzzard has a bare head. So now the animals were really getting concerned. that they still had no light. And then from down in the grass, they heard a little voice. And it came from Grandmother Spider. She said, perhaps this is woman's work. Perhaps I should be the person to go and get the light. So she felt around down in the damp soil and made a little clay pot. And this dried as she went towards the sun. She also spun a thread so that she could find her way home. And so she took some light and placed it in the little clay pot and carefully carried it home. And so brought light to the darkness. And if you look at a spider's web now, you will see it looks like the shape of the rays of the sun. And the spider always spins her web early in the morning before the sun comes up.
Yeah. All right, my drawing confuses me more than helps me, I'm afraid. This is a Chinese story about creation and the god Pan Ku.
That's how I say it.
Pan Ku. This is Pan Ku. All right, the space of the universe is in the shape of a hen's egg. And in the center there is nothing, no thing. But Pan Ku is in the process of becoming created. And sooner or later he bursts out. This is Pan Ku. He's the size of a giant. He grows 10 feet a day and lives for 18,000 years. He's covered with hair. He has horns and tusks and what else? Oh, he holds a chisel. That's what this is. And with the chisel, he carves out the earth. So this is the earth. He chisels out the rivers and the mountains and divides the earth into yin and yang. Yang is the light and the clouds and the sun and the sky, and yin is the dark earth here. He puts the stars and the moon in the night sky and the sun in the day sky. Shows the people how to build ships and bridges. This is the bridge. And then only when Pan Ku dies, this tombstone, is the world complete. This is the complete world. And I didn't finish, I didn't have time to finish the drawing, and I didn't know how to draw a skull. But when he dies, the dome of the sky is his skull. Soil is formed from his body. Rocks are made from his bones. Rivers and sea from his blood. Plant life comes from his hair. Rain comes from his sweat. I came back here and drew some sweat and rain. Thunder, lightning, wind, and clouds come from his breath. And and there are fleas in his hair. These are the fleas, and they become the people. After he dies. And then when he vanishes from the world is complete, but he's gone so that there's room for pain in the world, so that the sacrifice of the god leaves room for human suffering.
Which one did you notice now? Now, this is an oriental one.
Mm-hmm.
Which one does it kind of match that we've already heard?
Yes.
Where somebody, their body, the great maker's body, becomes the earth and the people and the
hungry woman.
The hungry woman.
Mm-hmm.
And which is a Native American tale, and they're both very, very old.
There are a lot of similarities in these different countries, even on tails. It's surprising. Got two left. Oh, you got one. What?
I think it did. Your first part of your program was that I enjoyed that kind of presentation. The Snoqualmie Tribe is a unrecognized tribe, Washington State, and part of their creation story is basically the waterfalls of the Snoqualmie Falls, and the falls itself is the mist going up to the creator, and water is the basic symbol for the change from the creation of earth and the Father Sky at the Great Spirit, the coming down of the water to the bottom of the fall when it hits Mother Earth and the rest of the water, it explodes into the form of the world, and the world is formed by the water falling into land. The land was formless before the water fell, and when the water has reached to the to a form of land, it ended up made land life, and life began with the fish first. First was the fish that became the original life of the Snoqualmie legend. And what forms out of water is all life, and life is formed through the water. The Snoqualmie tribe, or the Snoqualmie people, are ones that say that they were formed by that waterfall coming down and from Father Sky, letting us be able to be a people from their legend background. Ends up the Dakota, four directions, what I was hearing earlier, it is that the four people are formed by the work of the Father Sky, and it's Father Sky coming down to the form of Earth and making the four different types of people. And the stars are the grandfathers of the people that came ahead, the first people of Earth. I did put three different colors. The other one is the white people, and it ended up one of the things I put a line through that is that, like in both the Christian and the Indian tradition, is that we always strive to look for Father Sky to a redemption kind of thing, and we're always in that form of between both Earth and Father Sky.
Thank you.
That's one I don't have a copy of. I'll have to get it tomorrow.
At the same length.
You might do it that way. If you want to, you can. Okay, whatever you want to do. Or do it.
One that's been down, it's on the turtle's back from the Onondaga Northeast Woodlands. Before there was earth, there was only water, and the animals of the water with webbed feet, the ducks, the beavers, the loons, the muskrats, the one animals that could swim. And then there was the skyland. And in the skyland was a tree with four roots that pointed in the different directions, the different sacred directions. And in this island, there was an ancient chief and his wife. And one night, the woman had a dream. And in her dream, she dreamed that the ancient tree with all its fruit and flowers was uprooted. And she woke up and told this dream to her husband. And he said, any dream as important as this must be made to come true. So he called together all of the warriors and the strong people of the Skyland, and they tried to pull up a tree. They tried to uproot it, and they couldn't. And finally, the chief himself wrapped his arms all the way around the tree and pulled and pulled and pulled, and the tree uprooted and left a big hole in the sky. And the woman was furious and looked down through the hole, and as she looked, she fell. She started to fall through, and she grasped onto part of the tree, but all she got in her hand was seeds. And she fell and began falling down to the earth, or down to the water. And two swans who were flying saw her and came together and caught her in their wings, between their wings, and held her there. And as they were lowering her gently to the water, they realized that she didn't have webbed feet and she couldn't survive in the water. So they began to meet with the other animals of the water to decide what to do, because they had this new creature who couldn't survive in the water. And they remembered that down deep below the water, there was supposed to be some earth, whatever that was. And so they decided that they would dive to try to find earth to create a place for this woman. And the duck dived down a short distance, as far as she could, but the pressure was too great and she couldn't do it. And she came back up, coughing, and couldn't reach the earth below. And the beaver tried and used his big tail to swim down as far and deep down into the water where it was dark, but had to come back up for air. And the loon tried and went down very, very deep into the dark water, but then had to resurface. And finally the muskrat said, well, I will try or I will die trying to find the earth. And the muskrat was not a strong swimmer, but was very determined, and went down and down and down and down so that she could hardly breathe. And just as she was about to gasp her last breath, she touched something, the earth, and got a piece of earth in her paw and brought it back up. And when she arrived at the surface, they were trying to decide where to put the earth. And the turtle was swimming along, this was a turtle, and said, well, there's room on my back, you can put it here. And so the muskrat put the earth from her paw onto the back of the turtle, and that's why there's marks on the back of the turtle, you know. And as soon as the earth was on the turtle's back, it began to grow into the whole earth, into the land. And the swans brought the woman down to the land, and the seeds that were in her hand became the grass and the trees of the land. And that's how the earth was. Yeah.
You've exposed me.
I also have the story of the creation from the hen's egg. It was a great hen's egg in which there was no thing. But suddenly, in no thing, there began to grow Fanku. Fanku grew and grew and burst forth from the egg. And Fanku grew with amazing rate. He grew 10 feet every day, and he lived 18,000 years. He was a fiery thing, a fiery thing to see. He had horns coming out of his head and fangs out of his teeth. And in his arms, he carried a chisel from which he carved the earth, the seas, and rivers, and mountains. Also, Fanku made out of the earth he formed, there was also the skies, the heavens. And Banku was so great that he filled the whole space between the heavens, the yang, and the earth, the yin. There was nothing but Banku. When Banku's body also was covered entirely by hair, long hair. When Banku died, his skull became the arch of the sky. From his body, the bones became the mountains. His body became the earth. From his blood came the rivers and the sea. And with Fanku's death, there became known on earth that because of Fanku's absence, the yin and the yang became pain for the men which came from the fleas in Fanku's hair.
Thank you. Well, thank you all for coming, and I know we're already over time.